to the Celebrate the Goddess Telesummit. I'm your host, Kim Wilborn, founder of GuardianGateway.com, where we help you connect with the high vibrational guardian beings, angel, dragon and unicorn energies, tree and plant spirits, and more, who can help you live your soul purpose every day. And I am so excited that you are with us as we integrate the divine feminine presence into our lives. Now, I've created this event and gathered a wonderful group of teachers to help you learn how to create a daily relationship with the goddess in her many forms, a relationship that will support you in being who you're meant to be, help you live your soul purpose, and show you how to live fully in every area of your life. It's my intention that together we'll create a virtual temple to welcome into our hearts the divine feminine energy that's always been here supporting each one of us and our world. So if you're listening on the internet, on the instant teleseminar platform, go ahead and let me know that you can hear if you would. This is a live call, so we want to make sure that everything's working perfectly. And while I wait for that, let me tell you we'll have two or three calls every day during the week. And our final call will take place on Friday, August 14th. As a registered listener, all the calls are completely free for you to listen to live. And I also post a 48-hour replay for every call. And you'll find that on the schedule and replay page. Thank you for people telling me you can hear. That's always so good to know. All right, I've also created two affordable upgrade packages with recordings to help you get lasting benefits from the Telesummit, and both are at a discount price right now. Our Sacred Connection package gives you all the interview recordings from the Telesummit, as well as the Celebrate the Goddess Journal and Guide ebook with an all-new design and all the meditations from the call set to music to make it easy for you to experience the guided journeys and visualizations and rituals again and again. We've also got so many bonuses this time. It's really great. We've got Orisha Goddess's full online course by Kimberly Moore, Descent with Inanna through Seven Gates into the Underworld Guided Visualization audio from Joy Reichert, Prayers to the Goddess, a 39-day devotional PDF from Brandy Ossett, The Opening of the Ways, a Ritual of Contact with the Goddess Isis PDF by Isadora Forrest, an audio teaching and visual presentation on the goddess Kali from Laura Amazzoni, the Healing of Psyche audio from Jane Meredith, the Priestess Within audio from Lisa Michaels, Walking the Garden of Divine Meditation with Mother Mary audio from Raven Many Voices, a pre-release PDF copy of Sharon Turnbull's upcoming book, Goddess, How to Talk to Someone Divine, the Sacred Woman Medicine Wheel PDF by Irmariana, Healing Your Vital Center of Nurture, Connecting Your Umbilicus to Mother Earth, audio from Marguerite Rigliosa, Desert Priestess, a memoir audiobook, full audiobook, MP3 from Ann Key, and the 21 Days of Enchantment with Melusina, Serpent Goddess of Enchantment, PDF, and Melusina and the Elements, MP3 from today's speaker, Suzanne Corby. You'll find both upgrade options on your scheduling replay page, or you can go to goddesstelesummit.com/upgrade. Today, I can't wait to speak with Suzanne Corby, but before we begin, I'd like to invite you to take a deep breath and fully enter into the sacred space that we are creating together. So if you're in a safe place to do so, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and begin to relax. Feel into your heart space, and as you do, feel the all-loving presence of the Divine Feminine there within your heart. Feel her restoring and renewing your heart, and allow yourself to feel truly safe. Feel this divine feminine energy of safety spread into every part of your being. Feel it filling your entire body, flowing through your feet and beaming down into the center of the earth. At the center of the earth, feel the presence of a huge glowing crystal filled with positive energy and love for you. See the beam of divine feminine energy flow down into the crystal. Harmonize with the energy there and beam straight back up into you. Feel this beautiful energy flow up through the soles of your feet. Into your knees, up into your hips, your chest, your arms, your throat, and your head. Feel it filling your heart and spreading out all around you. And now feel it spread out to encompass the whole world. See the whole planet held in a space of safety. Feel the love from your own heart flow out and take shape around you. See yourself creating more and more of what you love in your life. And feel the Earth's love supporting you in bringing your divine gifts into physical form. Feel yourself become centered. Feel yourself become grounded. Feel yourself become balanced. And feel yourself become whole. Now come back to your own heart, and from that heart space, open to connect with the divine feminine in her many forms. She who is here to help you. She who loves you. And she who knows who you truly are. Stand inside the presence of the Great Mother and allow yourself to be fully supported from now on. Now take another nice deep breath. Come back to your normal waking state and join with me in welcoming our speaker. Suzanne Corby is a Wiccan priestess of over 38 years, initiated in an Egyptian temple dedicated to Isis in London. During this time, she has performed many rituals to the goddess, studied her rituals and traditions, worked with Sufis, Druids, healing, and shamanic practitioners to understand their ways, and regularly practices and teaches sacred dance. Her Wiccan workshops throughout the year in London teach the ancient pagan festivals that form the Wheel of the Year, and she reads and teaches tarot in person and online. Her pilgrimage to the ancient temples of Isis and Hathor in Egypt in 2012 allowed her to fulfill a lifetime desire to perform the ancient rituals of the goddess in their own temple and rededicate herself to the goddesses Isis and Hathor and their path of love, transformation, and wisdom. Welcome to the Celebrate the Goddess Tele Summit, Suzanne.
Hello, Kim. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's always so wonderful to have you. And I am so interested in Mel Uzina. I can't wait to hear all about her. Where do we begin?
I guess we begin in France, because that's really where she originates from. I did just actually want to ask you, though, Kim, do you know much about her?
No, hardly anything at all. I've read about her in passing, just little bits here and there.
She's a very mysterious goddess. She's not very well known. In fact, the first time that I ever heard about her, she was mentioned in The Chart of the Goddess, which is quite well known today, and I couldn't find out anything about her. And I lived for some time in Switzerland and went back to see my parents, and there was this program on about her, and it was all in French. And from there, I found books in French, of which there are many, but not so many in English. So she's quite a mysterious goddess to the Western English-speaking world at the moment.
Wow. What have you come to know about her? And why did you pick her in particular to devote this time to?
She's such an enigmatic, mysterious goddess, and she represents enchantment and transformation, both of which I think are really sorely needed these days, particularly enchantment. I think our lives are becoming so boxed in, so hemmed in with pressures of work, pressures of family, pressures of what we are supposed to do, what we ought to do, what is expected of us. And it's nice to let all that go and find our authentic true self that is not boxed in, that's not hemmed in, that's actually very free-spirited. And there's nothing like this goddess to teach you how to get in touch with your free spirit and a sense of wonder and enchantment. And I often find people come to me asking about that. How do I find enchantment? How do I find, you know, this sense of free spirit? And she can actually teach us that. And I certainly came upon her, as I say, through my connection to France and French-speaking books and places. And she was actually originated in a place called Lusignan, which I had the good fortune to visit and see many carvings of her. But she actually is much more wide known than that. She's known all over the Western Europe, particularly in France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, places like that. And if I can just describe her to you, she's shown as a half-naked woman with a serpent or a fishtail. So it kind of suggests that she could be mermaid, or she's connected to dragon and serpent energy, which is very much energy of the earth. And she's shown with a serpent tail and bat wings. Now that kind of adds a different element. So she's connected to the earth. She's also connected to the sky. She's shown clothed or naked, with or without a crown. In fact, you can actually see her. Almost anybody anywhere can see her on a Starbucks coffee cup. That is so cool now.
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny when I first saw that.
Yeah.
And she's often shown either half naked in a bath, which alludes to her story, or she's flying with bat wings and her serpent tail. She's shown in many, many churches and cathedral carvings around Europe. And is said to be linked to the royal families of Luxembourg and France. But she's an enchantress, like the Greek goddess Circe. She's a shapeshifter, like the Celtic Coridwen. She's a fairy queen, like the Celtic goddess Aen. She's a dragon goddess, like Tiamat, a serpent or bird-like goddess, like Lilith, containing both light and dark aspects. And what's really interesting about her is that she hasn't been demonized like many serpent or dragon goddesses have been over the years. She still is quite user-friendly, and people speak of her with great affection. And I've pondered long and hard about that, about why she's got away with that, because there she is with her bat wings and her serpent tail. So you could say that many people might be frightened at her aspect, but no, they consider her very fondly in France, and almost like their own very, very closely linked fairy guardian, if you like. And she, I think the reason that she is seen so friendly is that her story is very connected to the community and the earth. So it's clear that she cares passionately about people, about their well-being. She often came back, and her cry was said to warn the country of danger or, you know, things that were about to happen. So she has this connection with community in a very benevolent way. And perhaps I should tell you her story.
I'd love that.
Well, her story was first recounted in the 14th century. and tells the story of a young knight who has, his name is Raymond. It's quite a romantic story. So imagine, if you will, that this Raymond has just accidentally killed his uncle in hunting in France. And he runs away deep into the woods. So already we're in enchanted territory. The woodland glades, particularly if you get lost, is where you find the fairy folk. So he's got lost. He's in this big forest. He's done something wrong. He doesn't know where to go. He's in need. He's in need of help. That's another thing that links us with the fairy world. We call for their assistance. So there he is. It's the night of the full moon. It's the dark forest. He gets lost. He doesn't know where he is. And all of a sudden, he comes across a fountain, like you find fountains in the middle of woods, don't we? So clearly it's a magical kind of fountain. And there he finds three very beautiful women bathing in the fountain, as you do, very commonplace in woodland glades. And he comes upon them and he delights in them and talks to them. One of them in particular, called Melusine, takes a liking to him and talks to him and realizes that he's in desperate need. And she says, well, look, don't worry, you know, I can help you, as the fairies have a want to do. And this fountain was actually a well-known fairy fountain. It was called the Fountain of Thirst, or the Fountain of the Fairies, on account of many marvelous and strange things that happened there. So it wasn't the first time that something magical had happened. But the charm and the friendly manner of this particular goddess seduced him and entranced him. And she said that she would make him the most wealthy and honorable lord of the land, and that all she ever said to do was that she would never ask him to do anything against his honor or his religion, but that he should never doubt her. That was really very important. He should trust her. So there's this engagement, if you like, this contract that is being made between the fairy Melusine and this knight, a mortal, who is going into contract with her on the condition that he trusts her. But she's never going to ask him to do anything against his will. But she would like him to marry her. I mean, you know, a bargain is a bargain. Why wouldn't she want something out of it? So he says, okay, he will marry her. And she agrees that from sundown on Saturday to sunup the following day, every week, for the rest of his life, if he marries her, he must never ask her where she's going. He must never seek to see where she's going. And he must never follow her. He must let her, from sundown on Saturday to sunup on Sunday, she has to be free of and go her own way. And so he agrees. That's quite a little thing to ask, bearing in mind that she's going to make him one of the most wealthy lords. So then these most wonderful magical events were set in place. He asked for land surrounding the fountain in the forest to the king, and he put this deerskin down. He said, that's the only amount of land I want. So it was agreed. But this deerskin grew magically, and so when it was measured, it encompassed the whole of the woodland that the fountain was contained within. And then when he announced his marriage, the castles appeared on the land, and royalty came from far away in fine carriages, and there were days of feasting and celebration, and it was this wonderful kind of palace that was made, and there was work for everybody, so everybody became wealthy, and there was an abundant corn harvest, an abundant fruit harvest. Everybody prospered. So he got what he wanted. He got wealth, he got fame, he got fortune, he got wonderful land. And she got the pleasure of a lord at her beck and call. And as I said before, every Saturday off she went. And of course, eventually, over the years, after three children, which is another story which I won't go into, she had retired for the night. And Raymond simply couldn't get out of his mind where he couldn't see his wife and began to wonder what she was up to. And of course, there's that little whisper in your mind, is this all really real? Is this what really is going on? And so he followed her. And she went into her chamber in the tower, and then he waited a few moments, and then he peered through the keyhole, and there was his beautiful wife in this huge bath, relaxing. But there, slipping out of the end of the bath, was the huge tail of a serpent. So you can imagine this was quite frightening for him, and of course he shouted and he screamed and he burst open the door, and he said terrible things about odious serpents and vile witchcraft and what demon was there in the bath instead of his wife. And of course, she realized he'd broken this contract, which is very hard for mortal people to do, to trust fairies. And as she watched and as she looked at him, she grew these huge bat wings, and with the serpent tail flew out of the window and was never seen again. And that's really the heart of this story. And in this particular story, you've got the contract with the world of enchantment. You've got this need to trust the magic, need to trust the magical things that happened in a way that only you can, because it's your personal experience. You've got at the heart of it love, love for a lord, a mortal man, love for a mortal man, for something that doesn't fit into mortal worlds. So there's this need to kind of go out of the frame of reference, out of familiar territory, into the wild nature of the woodland, into the wild nature of enchantment. And enchantment is interesting. If you look at it where it comes from the French enchantement, which is composed of cantare, which is Latin, which means to sing. And the actual kind of definition of it is to find oneself in a song. It's like finding yourself in a story, in a legend, in a myth. And when we encounter magic, that's exactly how it feels, isn't it, Kim?
Yes.
We find ourselves in a story. We find ourselves in this kind of magical environment, this magical space where the sun is rising, the sun is set in boundary times, where we're seeing strange creatures and we're listening to nature in a way, and a bird falls down and speaks, and we listen to its song, and an owl flies overhead, and you listen to that song, and suddenly you become aware of that connectivity, that you are part of all these different songs that weave together. And in that contract with this fairy, this wild-natured goddess, who agrees to go into his world, who actually manages to live in the world with him, and that's another kind of lesson for us, that this, we can live in the real world, we can work, we can pay our bills, we can have a house, we can tend our garden, we can look after children and get married. But it doesn't mean that she doesn't lose her fairy nature, she doesn't lose her serpent side, her connection with her own sexuality that is uniquely hers, it belongs to her. And so she has a time where she is just who she is. She doesn't belong to anybody. And that's another thing about fairy things and dragon things. They don't belong to mortals. You can't control them. You can walk with them. You can sing their song. You can sign contracts with them. You can go into their world, but you can never, never own them. They are always their own self. And that tells us to be completely true to our nature. It's very important that we remain true to our authentic self and stand up for that and defend that and maintain respect for that. And then, of course, you know, she lives quite harmoniously with him, and everybody benefits from such an arrangement because she brings magic. She brings that nature that is passionate and committed and understands their songs, understands their stories, understands what they need. And through that, she's able to transform their community. But he just can't trust. He just can't trust enough. And so in that distrust, in that moment, he breaks that contract. And in that distrusting moment, we lose that connection to the goddess when we say, is it really real? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm really believing this. I'm not sure how it's relevant to me, which is why it's so good that today we're talking about personal practice, how we can make it relevant and real to us. But in that moment of distrust, he loses her. He loses everything that she had for him, everything. And it goes fairly disastrously for him after that. But she is free. And even that freedom, you don't know where she goes. You don't know what happens to her. But clearly, you know, she goes to many countries, and they've got very various stories about her that are like that. Even as far as Greece, she goes, where there's a cave called the Melisande Cave, the Cave of the Water Nymph. And it's part of her story that she goes there. And so she travels, and she everywhere she has these stories where she enchants and she inspires and she creates magic. And the people don't forget her. They don't forget the magic that blessed that community. That's why I love her, Kim.
Oh, my gosh. And it comes across so loud and clear. Thank you for connecting us to that. What a great story. I love it.
It's a wonderful story.
You can really feel. Oh.
And she does, that story can do a lot with us because for a start, she inspires us to connect with nature, to be at one with our wild and magical self. And the whole origin of having a magical existence, a magical nature and a magical life is wonder. It's to have wonder in your heart. It's to have wonder at a sunset, at the lark singing, at the owl hooting, at the squirrel scurrying, at the deer calling and all of nature all around you, at the mountains and the streams, their songs too, the song of the sylphs, of the air, the song of the undines and the call of the sirens, and to listen to that and to hear that and to connect with that, to love wholeheartedly, to give yourself so completely without ever losing your true nature. So there's a way we can do that. Very often as women, we often, well, men too, men and women, both give themselves wholeheartedly to love and sometimes lose themselves. I think it's more general to women that we lose ourselves in love than for men. But men do too. But that losing yourself, it's good to be completely give yourself wholeheartedly to love, but not to lose yourself in the process, because that is becoming a shadow of yourself. So she tells us you should never lose your authentic nature. And that the foundation of love has to be trust and respect. It has to be a two-way thing. So she teaches fidelity and commitment in keeping our promises for the greater good, supporting the community, devoting yourself to your family. But she doesn't waste time if that isn't a two-way thing, if trust and respect are no longer there. So that's a very important lesson for her. She's mysterious. She doesn't reveal all of herself to everyone, keeping some things for herself. And she's transformative. She can change shape and direction when she needs to. And you know where she reminds me very much of her serpent nature, that flying away with the wings. It's very much like a Chinese serpent or the Western serpent with the wings and the tail. You know, she's often English serpent is known as a worm-like figure. Many places are called worm end or worm hole or worm village in honor of the dragon. But and that doesn't necessarily have wings and lives in caves and lives underground. But if it has wings, it can soar. It can go into the sky and connect with the stars and the celestial elements of life. And so she has both of these things. She is a free spirit, which is what a dragon energy is. It's that free-spirited wild nature. And you asked me, Kim, to talk about what we could do in everyday practice to bring that into our lives. And I do think that's terribly important, because we can read these wonderful magical stories, but how do we incorporate that into our everyday lives? And so I think one of the most important things is that you have to connect with nature. That's really important. And that's difficult for those of us that are in cities. I mean, I'm very lucky to live near the sea and near woods, so I've got the best of both worlds. And I go to London to work occasionally, so I've got something of everything. But if you're in the city, go to the parks, you know, connect with nature there. You can, even in the parks, you can. And if you need to go further, go away for the weekend, go away on a day trip and connect with the trees. Go out, find woodlands, find forests, go for walks in them, sit by the tree, listen to the bird song, listen to the animals moving. Go out there at night in moonlight and see how different it is. And if weeds can find a way through the concrete jungle, then nature can find a way to our hearts. Open your heart and listen to it. So I think connecting with nature is very important. Even having plants and flowers in your house, you know, connecting with animals too, that's terribly important. And get to know where wildlife is in your village, in your community. Where's the nest of crows? Where do the sparrows go? Where does the kingfisher hide? Where are the owls? You know, where is the life that goes on around you? Don't just be connected to our issues and our problems and our life challenges. Look at nature. That's there all around you. Where are the hidden streams? I found there was a hidden stream not far from the back of my garden. Only yesterday, I was quite excited about that. I didn't know. You know, it's a hidden stream. There's magic there.
Wow.
Find out where your sacred well is. Go out at night and collect some water from the sacred well or the sacred stream that you visited, and put it out at the full moon, and maybe put a moonstone in that water and let it gather lunar energy, and that becomes your magical water that you can bless yourself with every day and give yourself some lunar magic. You could grow some planetary or elemental herbs and use them to make incense or spell working or house cleansing with. You could bring some spiritual statues and spiritual images in. You could paint some. Why buy them or bring them in? Paint them. Paint spiritual images. Paint images of your dreams. Keep a diary of your dreams. And maybe every year, explore a new magical skill like tarot or astrology or runes or crystals or dream interpretation, because these skills will connect you with your own creativity. They'll connect you with hidden wisdom and hidden knowledge and that mystical, mysterious element of Melusini. And bring those crystals and runes and herbs into your house, into your home, and write on parchment. Make your writing of your diary or your spell journals, make it magical. Write it by candlelight on parchment. You know, when you're singing your recipe, as you're cooking, sing a song of magical enchantment into your cooking and into your drinks that you create, and put magical fruit in there and bless them and enchant them by stirring it and singing while you're stirring them. And go out of your comfort zone, you know, explore your potential, seek new adventures, try new things. That's modern shapeshifting. You know, if you go out of your comfort zone, you're testing yourself. You're like that deer skin that Raymond was given by Melusini to measure out the length of forest that he wanted that magically grew. And Bridget, the goddess Bridget, has a magical cloak that she spreads out and asks for the land that will take the shape of her cloak. So, yes, yeah, you can have that, and it spreads out magically. That's magic for you. So, you know, try and spread your comfort zone further and explore. Go out of your comfort zone, explore your potential. Practice living different ways. You know, incorporate something into an everyday practice you don't already have in your life, and practice it until it becomes your new normal. And one of the things you can do is, when you shower every morning, release all negativity. Let it cleanse your aura while you're showering. And then light a candle before you get into bed at night and say a prayer to Melusini for magic and enchantment. And the last thing you do is blow out that candle and go to sleep. It makes going to sleep magical. You know, these are all little things that you can do that make it your normal practice. Create an enchanted bedroom so that you look forward to go to bed to have those magical dreams. And, you know, have wonder. Have wonder in your life. Have enchantment. Allow yourself to have fun and take delight in the smallest pleasures. When you think children have such wonder in their lives, they take pleasure in turning a light switch on and off. They take pleasure in watching birds flying over the sky and pebbles on a beach. Why shouldn't we take wonder in that? We're sophisticated and we're knowledgeable and we pore over books. That's great. Be knowledgeable. Extend your knowledge as far as you can. But don't lose your sense of wonder. Don't lose your sense of enchantment at all the pebbles on the beach. You never know. You might find a magical round stone that's completely round, or a stone with a hole in that's known as a holy stone or a hag stone, which is a symbol of the goddess, and you can hang that up outside. There is magic everywhere. You just have to find it. I have a student who's looking at pentacles at the moment, and she sent me some wonderful images of where she's seen pentacles everywhere, in flowers, in the middle of an apple cut the wrong way, in shelves. You know, there's patterns of these things everywhere. It's set her on a magical journey. You have to find that yourself by your search, by your sense of wonder in the natural world. And practice being aware. Being aware of your eyes, what you see. Practice listening. Practice really hearing. There's an old story of a nun, which I think you're going to be speaking to another speaker about how she listened. She opened her ear to the great below. That's a wonderful thing, you know, to say, to listen. Really listen. Listen to your heartbeat. Listen to your inner feelings. Listen to your body. Listen to what your body is saying to you. Listen to, you know, your family, your friends, your insects in the garden, the butterflies. Find out all about them. Explore everything that comes your way. There's a magical world out there just waiting for you to say hello. And be in touch with your emotions, but don't be ruled by them. Feel the full spectrum of love, pain, sorrow, grief, sadness, desire. You know, feel it all. Understand it. Don't deny it. Don't apologize for it. But maybe integrate it so it's used for your highest potential. Don't let it be dragged down to its lowest possible denominator. If you're going to experience anger, feel that anger, but then think how you could channel that into something constructive. How could you paint something or create something, you know, that would mean activity. Maybe run along the beach, you know, until you're exhausted. Let that swim in the sea, you know, let it out. Give it up to the waves. Crashing waves. Go on a beach where there's crashing waves and really feel that powerful energy. Let your anger ebb and flow and change like the sea. And But set your rudder and your sail to ride the waves where you want to be. You want to rule them rather than taking you like driftwood to any island or any beach. And swim deep. Swim deep like dragons. You know, seek a deeper meaning in your life and the world around you. How you feel about the divine. How you feel about life after death. What the meaning and the purpose of life is. Question. Be curious about everything around you. That's swimming deep. That's finding deeper knowledge. Don't stay in the shallows where it's safe and comfortable. Go further. Go wilder. Go deeper. And fly high. Don't accept or assume. Question. Be curious about the cosmos, about your true potential. Reach for the stars and take a leap of faith. If you don't take a leap of faith, you'll never know whether you're capable or not. And you may be surprised at how much you can do that you didn't know before. Love your desire. Love your sexuality. Love your feminine spirit. That is so serpent. That is so serpent. You know, dance naked. Dance naked by yourself. Dance naked in the woods where it's safe to do so, obviously. You know, but let yourself know your sexuality and embrace it and love it. And no one owns that but you. And oh yes, own your power. Don't give it away easily. If you want to share it with someone, share your love wholeheartedly with all of your heart and all of your inspiration. But don't give it away. Just share it. And then be bold, be considerate, acknowledge who you are, love it, express it, yet always with kindness. Forgive yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Respect yourself and your thoughtfulness. And explore your sensuality. You know, just stand there. Feel the wind in your hair, the water against your skin, the rain on your face, the grass beneath your feet. Let it lift your heart and soul. I guarantee you, if you do things like that on a really dark day, if you don't lift your spirit, nothing will, because you've got to find that sense of wonder. You've got to open your heart to it and let it work for you. But you've got to make that first step to connect with it, that first step into the wildwood. And be at one with the sacred, divine nature of life. Serve humanity, the principles of kindness, conscious action, conscious thought, word and deed. And consider how to be receptive to how you might create sacred space in your life and sacred places. Visit sacred sites. Let them inspire you. Goodness knows they inspire me every time I visit them. But be conscious of being there. Don't leave debris. You know, be environmentally friendly. Honor the place. Visit it and take yourself and nothing else. And leave just the presence and your love of the divine there. And take a moral and honorable stance with which to lead your life and support your community and the vulnerable. I think that's terribly, terribly important. Does that all make sense to you, Kim?
Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Do you think those are realistic things for people to do?
I do. I really do. And the more you speak, the more we get into that zone where we say that is actually our normal way of being. We've just gotten out of alignment with it.
Oh, that's so true. It is an absolute natural intelligence. In fact, in the tarot, if you look at the star card, the spiritual intelligence of the star is the natural intelligence. And she embodies Melusini, and that's why she's so connected with water. You know, she embodies that natural nature where she's not afraid to be herself. And Melusini isn't. She's not afraid to be herself. Yet she's such a modern goddess for our times because she can live in the world, but she's not of it. You know, she's only living in the world. And we all feel isolated at times in this concrete jungle that we live in or the savagery of the world around us. And we think, I don't belong here. Where do I belong? But you do. You do belong on Earth. This is our planet. You're in a body. You do belong here. But your magical nature is free to soar. So don't let this world constrain you other than the responsibility to your family and your commitment and where love is. Go where love is and let share that love with it. That is honorable. That is her commitment to love and fidelity. And do honor that, but maintain that free spirit because that is your connection to the source of your creativity. And that takes us back to where he first found her, at the fountain of the fairy, the fountain of thirst, because that fountain is the fountain of youth. Because if you find that fountain within you, you will never grow old. I promise you that.
Well, you're a great example of that, Suzanne.
I'm working on it, Kim.
Yeah, you're doing very well, I think. Oh, gosh, I just want this to go on and on forever. I know you've got a wonderful guided meditation, and we can go right into that if you want, or if you've got more that you'd like to say on this subject, I would love that too, whatever you would like.
I think this would be a good time to go into the meditation, Kim, because it does give me an opportunity for people to experience a little bit of natural enchantment and her kind of place, her place where she lives, where she belongs, where if you go into this place and call upon her and you can find this within yourself. And I know I've done another meditation that's part of the package that people can listen to that will take them into the realm of the sylphs and the undines and the salamanders and the nature spirits. But this is an opportunity for people to shapeshift in the woodland kind of environment. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to go into that meditation now.
Oh, yes, let's do it.
So if you will bear with me and come to a point within yourself that is still and just relax and breathe deeply, allowing yourself to relax and listen to my words as a guideline to take you into a woodland glade at the end of a sunny, balmy day, feeling completely at home with the woodland spirits that are around you. To imagine, if you will, you're in this woodland glade, you're walking through it, the sun is setting in the distance, you can hear animals rustling and birds flying around in their last scurrying moments of the day. And the spirits of the air, the sylphs, drift past you in the form of butterflies and insects, seeds and petals borne by the wind. And they dance around you, delighted to see you. And allow yourself to delight in their presence and blow them a kiss and smile at them and dance with them as they dance around you. And the salamanders of fire are saying farewell as they fly to catch the fading sun. Although some remain as the first fireflies of the evening join the sylphs in the evening midsummer dance. And as you open your ear to the great below, you hear the trickling of a stream, trickling through the wood, singing the song of the undines and the spirits of the water. And you listen to their song as the water runs over the pebbles and trickles in and out and around. And you listen to the nature spirits whispering their secrets as you pass them by. This is the land of enchantment. This is the place of wonder, the magical glade where the fountain of the fairies exists. A magical place where anything is possible. And step over the boundary between the world of mortals and the world of the fairy into this enchanted glade. And as you do so, something inside changes, a perception, an awareness. Your eyes see further than usual. Your ears hear sounds you wouldn't normally hear. Your senses are attuned to movement of any kind. A tingling runs through your body, and you feel an immense need to release the past and all that no longer serves you well. And as if shedding an old skin like snakes do, breathing out, reach out, and let your new body emerge. And as you breathe out, feel the old skin release from you, feeling all past pain and negativity leaving your body. And as you breathe in, sense a new you emerging, as if a butterfly from a chrysalis. And allow your snake side, the old skin leaving you. And allow yourself to be aware of all that is within you, that is both light and dark, merging within you, the part of you that has wings that can soar, the part of you that is connected to the earth, that is your sexuality, your sensuality. Feel it, know it. This is you. Your new inner self emerging from the old you that you are releasing behind you, that you no longer serve. Let all that no longer serves you go with that old skin. And become aware of your true nature and embrace this new form. And become aware of your lower body from the base of your back down, feeling the aliveness, the awareness of your connection with the earth, with your roots and your origin and your oneness with nature and with all living things and your time on this planet, your place on this planet and your gratitude for what it gives you so freely. And this awareness, this tingling, this awakening moves to your belly, awakening your sexuality, opening up your creative flow, your ability to express your pleasure, to seek your pleasure in your natural and your own natural way. And at the center of your being, a golden radiant light now floods your body with new life. As you breathe in and out, it pulses with new health, new energy, and you're aware of your own power to possess and create the life you always wanted. This is yours. This is your power. Own it. It's yours to do with as you will. No one else's. You can share with it with people who you trust, who trust you. You can share your passion and your love with others. But you alone own your power. And now, as you feel that, you should be beginning to feel the full awareness of this visualization building up and opening up in your heart a loving compassion for all that lives. And this growth of understanding expands your heart like a garden bursting into bloom. Feel the strength of this. Feel the limitlessness of your heart for yourself, for others, for nature. And beyond, for that which you don't yet know, let your heart expand. And the joy of it makes you want to sing. And allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to express your feelings, your truth, in any way. And connect with this feeling really strongly. So that when you come to your magical glade another time, you can sing your song. Find what your own song is. Find your song of enchantment, your song of being, your song of creation. Create it yourself, from yourself. And your awareness extends around you as before, growing wider. And with one last burst, our connection with the cosmos is awakened, showing us our highest potential, connecting us with spiritual beings, our guardians and our guides, the goddess Melusini, who embraces you at the heart of the woodland glade by the fountain of youth. And you see that all your possibilities and potential are all connected with life in one large iridescent web of life, moving and breathing just as you are, pulsating with one heartbeat, moving, changing, evolving, growing. And as you are aware of the enormity and connection of which you are part, you take flight with the exuberance of this feeling. Allow your spirit to soar, to rise through the sky, above the mountains, above the clouds, out to the stars, out to the planets. And feel that expanse of which you are part, from where you come, your origin. And then fall like a falling star back to earth, down into the sea, and diving deep, swimming like the dragon of the sea into the ocean. All of the ocean's life is yours. The great dad, dragon of the deep, swimming amongst the leviathans, the whales, and the tiniest minnows, leaping out of the sea and back into the woodland glade, onto the green earth below, and find yourself around the fountain, bathing with Melusine and her two sisters, as they laugh and delight in the dance of the sylphs and the salamanders and the fireflies and the nature spirits, weaving a dance around you and holding that moment in your heart and your mind. Hold that deeply as you come back into the body that houses the you that is now. And hold in that moment your connection with the wild place of enchantment as you come back to feel the earth beneath your feet where you are now. Feel your grounding. Feel the place where you're sitting and the place where you are going to begin to manifest all the potential that you know is now possible. This is your body. This is your day. This is your moment in time to begin the new you and the new magical enchantment of the world that you can create. So all that is needed is for you to open your eyes and begin. And that is my meditation, Kim. I hope that everybody heard that well. Hello? Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
Hello, Kim. I thought I got cut off then.
Oh,
had
no.
Had you gone to the woodland glade and not come back?
I guess so. I was talking and just to myself, I guess. I just want to say that was just, it was wonderful. Thank you so much. It was just magical. So magical.
I hope I didn't lose you there, Kim.
Poor Suzanne.
It happens
gosh.
On occasion.
if anybody ever has trouble coming
back from any meditations, it's really useful to move your fingers and toes and you know, just make sure that you're making that physical connection. Move your toes and your feet on the ground and move your fingers. It does happen sometimes that we do get taken into another place and it enchants us. These enchanted realms are very seductive. And there is a slight word of warning there because, I mean, all our fairy stories come with warnings, don't they? You know, don't go to that place because you will lose yourself to the fairies. They take mortals away with them. And it is true. The enchanted realms of magic are enchanting. And I do see people that lose all touch with reality sometimes. And I'm sure those of you that are listening know perhaps one or two people that are like that. And it is important, like the story of Melusine, that you keep connection with reality, that you know your responsibilities and your commitments. It's about not losing your world side, but not losing complete touch with reality altogether. We are in a physical body on a physical planet, and we're there for a reason.
I love that. And thank you for reminding us of that. And that it kind of goes along with the question that we got from Charlotte in Montreal. She says, in Gareth Knight's translation of her story, she has a dark side. She buried her father alive in a mountain when she was a teenager and had her son killed. How do we work with her darker nature?
That's one of many stories. You'll find that there are lots of different stories about Melusine. But yes, I mean, one of the reasons about the father being killed is that he breaks the promise to her mother. So again, there's this, oh, yes, she does have a dark side. We all have a dark side. You have a dark side, I have a dark side. But I wouldn't certainly suggest that people go around killing their parents because their parents break promises. But the mythology, the legend of that, is really about commitment to promises and trust, and that is at the heart of her story, that, you know, you make these promises, and this was King Elenas, who was her father, who makes a promise to her mother, and she agrees on the condition he must not enter her chamber when she birthed or bathes the three female children. Well, of course, they would have been half dragon or half snake. And, of course, one of the things about showing a wild spirit, particularly to mortals or people that don't understand, is that it's not understood, and it frightens people. Many of the things that you'll be talking about, you know, where you talk about witchcraft, you might talk about fairy goddesses, you might talk about Santeria goddesses, so that the name Hoodoo might be mentioned. You know, these are frightening things to people. They don't, that people that don't understand. And so we must be aware of that. We must be aware that if we talk sometimes and say some things that some people will not understand, and if our lives are threatened by things like that, then we have a right to defend ourselves. But really, that story is saying that mortals don't understand the wild side of nature. And that has been true of my life. I've absolutely understood a lot of prejudice from my own Wiccan path because people have not understood it. And so they see me as very powerful, very dangerous, very scary, because they don't understand. They don't know what I am and what I do. But I embrace the mysterious side of me, the hidden nature of me, the side of me that looks into tarot and spell work and sacred space casting and circle casting. But other people won't see it like that. They'll see it as dabbling in witchcraft. And that, I think, I hope that answers this lady's question, that, you know, there is a dark side to everything, but it's about understanding what that is. It's really more what's hidden. Once you understand it, it's never quite so scary.
Oh, that was a beautiful answer. Thank you for that. And we've got another question. Lola asked, she says, thank you so much. And can you say again where it was that you first found this goddess in France?
Lusignan. Lusignan is the place where she, you have carvings on the very old cathedral there. She had a the place where she gave to Raymond, and she had a palace there. The palace is no longer standing. But all of Lusignan has got memories of her there, and a little grotto by a forest there, and lots of carvings in lots of different places there.
One of her could places. You spell that for us?
Sorry?
Could you spell it for us?
Yes, it's Lusignan. And the cave in Catalonia is actually, I actually found that synchronistically. I have to say, my partner and I go to Catalonia every year for a holiday, and we found at this beautiful cave called the Cave of the Water Nymph, Melusine, and I thought, that's just too close. That's just too close to Melusine. I thought that was a wonderful kind of connection, but later actually found that it was part of a story that I hadn't known about. I hadn't known about it at all. And we were actually guided to that cave in a very magical way, and that's part of the magical path, and that's part of the trust. If you trust it, it leads you, it takes you to such places, and the magical fulfillment that can come from that is quite extraordinary.
Oh, that's wonderful. That leads us to our final question. Where can we find more info? Do you recommend any books or anything?
Gareth
like
Knight. There's an author called Gareth Knight who's written two books very recently on Melusine, which doesn't surprise me because I think she's beginning to come to prominence a lot more now because, as I said, I think her world nature is needed so much now, and that connection with the modern world as well as the ordinary world as well as the fairy world. But Gareth Knight has written two books, The Romance of the Fairy Melusine and The Fairy Melusine. So I would certainly look out for two of Gareth Knight's books. The best of the rest of the books are still in French, sadly.
Oh, got it. Oh, gosh. Well, I want to let everyone know where they can connect with you. Now, we've got a link to your website up on the schedule and replay page. You can go to suzannecorby.co.uk, and she's got a wonderful website where you can find out all about her and all the different things that she offers. And this is just, as I said when I was muted before, this has gone by so fast. I don't remember what I said, but it has just gone by so fast. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we have to close today, Suzanne?
I would just like to invite everybody to find wonder in their lives, because that is the origin of a magical existence, to find wonder. And find wonder, it starts with yourself in your own heart, but it is all around you. And not to be afraid of your dark side. Don't be afraid of your shadow. It's about integrating the shadow into your everyday life. You may have a problem with self-esteem. You may have a problem with anger. You may have a problem with all kinds of different things, relationships, communication. Whatever that problem is, that is part of who you are. It's there for a reason. So embrace it as a challenge for you to understand and integrate. And that way you become whole. And that's the whole thing about Melusini. She is a combination of many things that some people are afraid of and some people aren't. But that combination is what makes her so utterly enchanting. And so are we, every single one of us.
Oh, well, you have certainly brought that enchantment to this time we've spent together. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
You're very welcome, Kim.
Oh, this has been such a magical hour. Thank you again. Oh, gosh, and I want to thank the goddess more than anything else. And everyone listening, I am so glad that you're with us on this journey. And thank you so much to everyone who wrote in through the teleseminar box there. I appreciate it so much. And for everyone that wrote in with comments for Suzanne, know that I'm going to send those to her. And I thank you so much for the beautiful comments we've been getting and for the questions as well. So thank you all again for joining with us and welcoming the Divine Feminine Presence into our lives. This is just the beginning, and we've had a wonderful first day. So thank you for starting it off with us. And thank you again, Suzanne, for being my partner here today as we start off this event.
Thank you, Kim.
Remember, everyone, all the replays are posted on the Schedule and Replay page. And I hope you'll go on over to facebook.com/Guardian Gateway and like us if you want. Post your favorite magical idea from this call. And I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Oh, Suzanne, was there something you wanted to say about tomorrow's call?
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I was going to say that one of tomorrow's calls is about Ocean. She's a Santarian goddess. And she is a very similar version to Melusini. So I thought that was very serendipitous that you were following on with a goddess that was almost similar to Melusini in nature. So that will be a very interesting thing for listeners to follow on. And I did want to thank everybody as well for listening.
Awesome. Thank you. So do join us again tomorrow. 10 a.m. Pacific time will be our first call when Jane Meredith will be sharing her wisdom on the dark goddess. Until then, this is Kim Wilborn wishing you all love and abundance.